The content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition.
One Life Radio appreciates the support from our sponsors. Make sure you check out these great companies. Sun Warrior, the pioneers of plant-based protein. Go to sunwarrior.com and use the code OLR for 20% off your order. Enviromedica, makers of Terraflora and new Immuniflora. Learn more at enviromedica.com. Castor and Pollux, extraordinary pet food that has set the new standard of purposeful pet food. Paleo Magazine is now all digital, so you can go to paleomagazine.com and subscribe. Also, the Wellbeing Journal, combining physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, and social aspects of health. Veg World Magazine. Sign up and get a free online subscription at vegworldmag.com. The International Society of Sports Nutrition, the only nonprofit academic society dedicated to sports nutrition and supplementation. Learn more at sportsnutritionsociety.org. And Thorne Research, redefining what it means to be well and pushing the limits of human potential. Go to the sponsor page at oneliferadio.com for links and listener discounts. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio.
You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Junior, broadcasting live from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia, as well as KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk. Happy Tuesday, everyone. How you doing, Junior?
I'm doing great. Yeah, yeah. Tuesday. Yeah. Yeah, I'm already looking forward to the weekend, though.
What's that song? There's a song, Tuesday, I'm in love. Whatever. What is it?
You know, I think it's Monday.
Or Monday, I'm in love.
Isn't it Monday?
Yeah. Monday,
by The Cure, right?
The Cure, and then there's Tuesday, right? And then
he says Tuesday in there. They say something about Tuesday and Wednesday, and yeah, they go through all the days.
Oh wow!
It was a real creative writing process.
You know? Yeah, no, that I love music. I do. You know that, yeah. And so, everything okay?
Today? Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I'm no complaints on this end.
Yeah, you know, yesterday's broadcast is kind of funny. People, I just want to make this clear to everyone. We are broadcasting live, but Junior is at the iHeartMedia corporate offices, and I am at home in my home studio that I built over the last couple of months. So we are not together. And so as much as I'd like to do the safety shake with you, I can't.
I know. Here, maybe we could just do an audio one.
We'll do an audio one. Yeah.
There, you hear that?
There you go. Yeah. I can't. Mine's not making any.
I heard you. I got it.
Did you hear it?
Yeah,
all right,
safety shake done. There we go.
Safety shake. There. All right. Oh, my gosh. Well, we've got a great show coming up today, as usual. Here in a minute, I'm going to introduce Sean Wells, and then we've got Mo Brossette at the half. But, you know, I wanted to share this with everyone who wants to hear it that's listening out there. But, you know, I had a really cool experience this morning. I got up after finally getting some sleep. I was a hot mess yesterday. I didn't sleep the whole night Sunday almost, and it's amazing what a good night's sleep will do for you. So I woke up this morning fully recharged and revived, and I thought, you know what, I'm gonna put up my own damn Christmas tree instead of waiting around for some man to help me do it. Not that I wouldn't mind that. I would love a man to help me put up my Christmas tree, but it's 12 feet and it's heavy.
Oh my
gosh.
It's
in three pieces. And I'm telling you, so I went up out to the back barn and I dragged it out piece by piece, not dragged it because I didn't want to do any damage, carried it into my living room and put it up myself. And I'm just pretty darn proud of myself.
That's pretty awesome that you put up a 12-foot tree by yourself.
Yeah.
And I
have that kind of strength in my body, and I just want to share that with our listeners because, you know, I'm no spring chicken, but I'm still really strong, and you can be too. So that's my message today from the burn.
Did it change your mood, too, like put up the
yes.
tree? Did you, like, get into the Christmas feels?
Yeah, well, I even broke a sweat. I mean, it's pretty heavy. I don't know how much it weighs, but I'm going to guess collectively it's got to weigh maybe 120 or 50 pounds,
good
something
job.
Like that. So, they were all equally as heavy and cumbersome. And there was a big a spider up in the top, too, a daddy long legs.
Yeah.
But I didn't kill him because I'm like, you know what? Why should I feel like I have a right to just get the vacuum cleaner because I was cleaning up the little, you know, stuff? I'm not going to suck him into the vacuum cleaner. I'm not going to kill him. He's got a right to live, and they're not poisonous. So he's rocking in my tree right now, Mr. Daddy Long Legs.
Look at that.
All right. Okay. Well, like I said, we've got a great show coming up, but I wanna introduce Sean Wells. Are you there, Sean?
I am here.
Did you like my story?
I loved it.
Okay, good. Well, Sean Wells is a dear friend, and he's been on the show for a very long time, almost since the beginning. But if you're joining us now for the first time, let me tell you about Sean. He is a master of public health, a licensed dietitian, registered dietitian, sports certified nutritionist from the International Society of Sports Nutrition. He's also a fellow of the International Society of Sports Nutrition. And Sean Wells is one of the world's leading nutritional biochemists and expert on health optimization. He has formulated over 500 supplements and patented 10 novel ingredients. He's formerly a chief clinical dietitian with over a decade of clinical experience. He has counseled thousands of people on natural health solutions such as keto, paleo, fasting, and supplements. And as a world-renowned thought leader on mitochondrial health, he has been paid to speak on 5 different continents. His insights have been prominently featured in documentaries, nationally syndicated radio programs, on morning television, and his expertise can help any health conscious, high achiever, or low achiever. I mean, it depends upon where you are in your life, right? Everybody starts somewhere, but he can help anyone who is health conscious or wants to be to better manage stress and experience higher performance and more energy through utilizing his practical holistic solutions. You can find him at his website, that's seanwells.com, or on Instagram at ingredientologist. Okay, that's a mouthful, but you've done a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You're a smart guy.
Thank you.
Well, you know, today you picked the topic of experimentation. And so I want to talk first of what type of experimentation are you talking about? And this is...
Well, yeah, go ahead.
No, go ahead. No, you go ahead.
It's not only biohacking, but if you've read the book, Tim Ferriss's Tools of Titans, when he, you know, took kind of excerpts from all of his interviews of like all these, you know, tremendous people, Elon Musk, Arnold Schwarzenegger, all these people. And he found that they had two things in common. One, they had a great morning routine. And two, they viewed success through the lens of experimentation. So everything was an experiment. There was no failure. Like it's Thomas Edison said, all of his experiments were not failures. Like he said, now I know what it's not. Mm-hmm. And so I, you know, it goes with that stoic kind of thinking where you win or you learn. You know, there's no win or you lose. Mm-hmm. And the more we experiment in life, the more new great things we find. You know, it's like you can get set on having like, I really like peanut butter and jelly, but until you tried sushi, you didn't know that it was good. You know, it's that kind of thing.
My studio to grab the book because it was on my bookshelf, The Tribe of Mentors by Timothy Ferriss. It's an amazing book, and you're absolutely right. So let's dive into this. You know, we're talking about experimentation. So what's the best way to try one thing or try something new? Is it one thing at a time when experimenting or several things at once?
Yeah, no, exactly. You don't want to like shotgun it. And, you know, we do that a lot for like, and New Year's is coming up and a lot of resolutions get made and people say, well, I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to, you know, do a keto diet and I'm going to take these 22 supplements and I've got these snacks and I'm, you know, going to be doing all these new healthy habits. I'll be parking further away. All that stuff is great, but you don't know what's doing what. And the scientific method is to do one thing at a time, see if it works for you, see if it's getting you results, you know, see if it's not counterproductive. You know, certain diets, certain supplements, certain things might be counterproductive to you, and then proceed forward. And then, you know, maybe after 2 weeks, you add another thing. But it's better than the shotgun approach, and then you just say, oh, none of it's working. And then you stop going to the gym, you stop eating right, you stop, you know, doing all these healthy behaviors because you don't know which one's working and not working for you.
So you start one at a time. Like what would that look like for the average person out there listening?
Well, I think, you know, things that you know have really good science behind them are certainly healthy behaviors to do that. By and large, 95% of people, they work for. You know, obvious things like stopping smoking if you're smoking, you know, eating, like starting with a whole food diet. Like, you know, we've talked about that, that I feel like keto is something that maybe down the road that you can experiment with once you've nailed down some basics like eating whole food, getting away from sugar, and eating whole food is getting away from ultra processed food. Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe having some kind of basic workout routine or movement plan in your life, and maybe doing some intermittent fasting, like even just starting with just 12 hours of not eating and 12 mm-hmm. hours of eating. And then, like, once you kind of nail those things down, then you can start getting into keto. Because I've seen so many people try keto and think that's mm-hmm. the savior, but then they're eating like keto junk foods and they only eat keto cookies and keto candies. And it's not, that's not the healthy way to go about this. So it's one step at a time, and know that, you know, you didn't get unhealthy or less than healthy mm-hmm. in 1 week. So the solutions aren't going to come in 1 week. So it's best to do one thing at a time and then see what's working for you and not working for you. But the things that are, you know, a little bit more adventurous, maybe those are like a little bit further down the road, and start with the basics that are really important. It's kind of like I'm not going to go from couch to CrossFit. Right. You know, I should go from couch to walking to doing something at home with some bands and, you know, some kind of dumbbells, and then, you know, maybe work out with a trainer at the gym, and, you know, you get going. Like, it's hard to go all the way from 1 to 100 that quickly.
Mm-hmm. It is. And so many people, I think, make the mistake of thinking that health is just your physical health. You know, what you look like, how thin you are, if you're cut. It's mental health. It's emotional health. It's spiritual health. They're all connected. In order to reach that state of euphoria that very few people reach when it comes to health, where they're really hitting it on all cylinders, you have to include spirituality in that as well.
Yeah, 100%. You know, I can tell you that when I was figuring out all these hacks for years, doing what's now called biohacking myself with supplements, diet, exercise, all these things, I went from morbidly obese, 300 pounds, to mm-hmm. 150 pounds and anorexic. Then I went to 220 pounds and working out 4 hours a day. And at all those points, I was unhealthy.
Yeah.
Like,
but you had to be unhealthy,
I wasn't
right?
mentally well. Yeah.
Right, and you had to get to that point in order to get where you are now, because that's what we're going to be talking about coming up in the break, is about passion and purpose work together, and mm-hmm. that's what keeps you energized. So let's go to break right now. More coming up with Sean Wells, everyone. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Isn't the best place to find a lover, so the bar is where I go. Mm-hmm. Me and my friends sat at the table doing shots, tripping fast, and then we talk slow. Mm-hmm. And you come over and start up a conversation with just me, and trust me, I'll give it a chance. Now take my hand, stop it, and the man on the jukebox, and then we start to dance. And now I'm singing like, girl, you know I want your love. Your love was handmade for somebody like me. Come on now, follow my lead. I may be crazy, don't mind me. Say, boy, let's not talk too much. Grab on my waist and put that body on me. Come on now, follow my lead. Come, come on now, follow my lead. Mm-hmm. I'm in love with the shape of you. We push and pull like a magnet do. Although my heart is falling too, I'm in love with your body. And last night you were in my room, and now my bedsheets smell like you. Every day discovering something brand new.
You're listening to One Life Radio. Make sure you check out our podcast and get to know the show at oneliferadio.com.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to One Life Radio live from Dallas, Texas, as well as KMET in Southern California. This is Bernadette with Junior and Sean Wells. We are talking about experimentation. Sean Wells is a master of public health, a licensed dietitian, registered dietitian, certified sports nutritionist from the International Society of Sports Nutrition. He is also the world's leading nutritional biochemist and expert on health optimization. He has formulated tons and tons of supplements, over 500 actually, and also patented 10 novel ingredients. And it's always great to have Sean Wells with us. Today, we're talking about experimentation, okay? And right before the break, we were talking about passion and purpose and how they work together. But before we go back to that, I'd like to talk with you, Sean, about this. What are some ways that we can discover our energy baseline?
Oh, man. That's a great question and something like that I've been working on for a while. And I have a book coming out called The Energy Formula in February. But I believe that's what we're all seeking is energy. And like I was telling you, when I was writing this book, I was looking at experimentation, nutrition, exercise, routines, growth, your tribe. Those are all key. And you do need to have some sort of baseline of where you're at and then keep measuring. And that's part of the experimenting is knowing your improvement. It's similar to in business, you have key performance indicators, KPIs, and you know what your ROI is, your return on investment, the revenue, your margins and all of that. And when you're looking at these KPIs, you can tell the health of your company and how it's doing. And it's the same with you. Like the more data you have that you can look at and, you can track your improvement with your walks, the speed at which you're walking, the distance with you're walking. You can look at the weights that you're doing at the gym and, the nutrition that you're getting. You can use like MyFitnessPal and these kinds of things. And that's key to look at how you're coming along. And that will keep you on track much more if you're doing that, if you're gathering data. Mm-hmm. That's, been shown time and time again. But I think those are key things to look at and get your energy baseline from. And hopefully you'll get more energy as your exercise mm-hmm. improves, as your nutrition improves, as your morning and nighttime routines improve, as you surround yourself with the right people, your tribe. You take on that growth mindset. You are willing to experiment with new things and go new places and do all that. Those mm-hmm. behaviors will definitely help you to evolve and get more energy.
Well, is the data, so is it important to write down the data that you compile? For example, what you eat every day, how many times a week you exercise, so you can look at fluctuations, just like you would a business, as you said, with KPIs and ROIs.
Yeah. I think it is good, at least at the beginning, and maybe to do every now and then. It depends on the type of person you are. Sometimes it may be an unhealthy pursuit to, like, constantly be gathering data and kind of miss the here and now and the life that's there, being mm-hmm. present and mindful. Mm-hmm. But it just depends on the person. But it's definitely a good thing to do for a couple of weeks or something like that so that you can see, oh, this is a serving. A serving, for example, of chicken or peas or whatever is about the size of a deck of cards or your fist.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's very misunderstood, let's say, in most restaurants and by most people, what a serving of food is. So just going through some of these exercises can help you understand things mm-hmm. and kind of keep you on track moving forward.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I love that you brought that up about the portion size, because we are so mm-hmm. out of control in this country with portion size. It's we eat too much food in most cases. We do. And then you never eat them. So they end up in the trash. So they ruin the environment. It's all connected.
Yeah, I was going to say one of the healthiest things to do is, because servings are so large. I used to do this with Shelley a lot, is we would just split a meal or get a couple appetizers or something.
Oh, yeah.
And It's very feasible and reasonable to do that. Like most of these serving sizes are very out of control at restaurants. I mean, you can already see when you're walking in what the plates look like.
Absolutely.
And gauge it from there.
In fact, I want to say this.
Typically, they're too large.
Well, and I want to say this, from many years of being in the restaurant business, when the portion size is indicative of the quality of the food. So keep that in mind, too. If they're going to give you huge portions, okay, you do the math. The food, their food cost is very low, and the quality of the food is very low as well. In most cases, it's very rare that it's different. Would you agree?
Oh, it's totally. And I remember as a child, like going to McDonald's was you know, a rare treat. And I know McDonald's is not the healthiest by any means, to your point. But I remember as like an adult meal was a small single patty. And you had like what's now considered like small fries was the only fries. And a drink was, you know, 12 ounces. And now that's not even the happy meal for kids. Like,
I know.
Kids are getting like a double cheeseburger and large fries and a shake and this and that. And maybe they throw in some apples to make it healthy, quote unquote.
Yeah.
But the serving sizes are completely skewed. It's crazy.
Well, even our clothes sizes are different. You know, now we have vanity sizing, because to not make someone feel bad if, you know, that, you know, it's just all a little crazy. But, you know, your health is your wealth. We all know that. And so in your book, though, I want to bring this up. I don't want to run out of time before I ask you a few more questions. You talk about bio individuality and why it is key to understand our foundation. Can we talk about that?
Yeah. Like when we're reading studies, and I love studies, and we've talked about probably hundreds, if not thousands, on this show together. But these studies are, you know, 10, 20, 30, 40 people. If it's a good study, maybe if it's an epidemiologic study where you make some correlations, it could be tens of thousands of people. But there's no study with 8 billion people.
Right.
And so there's bioindividuality. We have differences, to your point, physically, mentally, spiritually, and biochemically, that make us all unique. And a study just gives us a direction. And that's kind of that experimentation is like, hey, I'm going to try this. There's some data on it. I'll see. But it may not work for me. And even in those studies, it's statistical averages. And there's people that are outliers in the study that it doesn't work at all for. And some people drop out of the study.
Wow.
And you're just taking statistical averages and saying, with these 20 people, on average, this is what we saw statistically. But, you know, you can have someone that has, you know, a data point of one and someone who has a data point of 20 and say, well, on average, people saw, you know, this 10 as a result. And then you might think that that's what everyone should see. But maybe half the people, you know, it didn't work for, and half the people it did. So there's literally like groups that are called non-responders in studies and super responders or hyper responders in studies. And, you know, some of that doesn't get told to you and, you know, when they're telling you basically the abstract or the summary of the study.
Right. Yeah. And you've done a few of those, haven't you?
You've
done a few.
Yep.
Well, you know, so why is experimentation so important to start with when it comes to changing our lives?
It's really where change is. There's this quote from The Hobbit about Bilbo Baggins saying that, like, you know, you put one foot in front of the other and you never know where you're going to be swept off to. And I love he has like this great adventure, and like all the other hobbits just stay in their little shire in their area where they've always grown up and lived, and they think Bilbo Baggins is crazy. But all the great change that's waiting for you is out there. Like you have to leave your house. You have to disrupt your norms a bit. Like you have to go to the gym despite that feeling a bit uncomfortable. You have to try new restaurants or, you know, a new diet at times. Like you have to shake things up or else you atrophy, you know, like in life or and physiologically, like if you don't use it, you lose it. You have to flex that experimentation muscle to find out who you are and what works for you. You can't take what people have told you works for you, you mm-hmm. need to go out there and try new things.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, our lives are one big great experiment, aren't they? I know you talk about that.
Oh, totally. Totally. Exactly. A life well lived is certainly one big experiment. And I talk about that in the book, and we've talked about this before. Like mm-hmm. it's that stoic mentality, you know, that the obstacle is the way.
Yep.
And change happens through adversity, and, mm-hmm. and you adapt and you get stronger because of it. It's also called hormesis, physiologically, when your body responds to adversity and stress.
What's it called? Hormesis?
It's important. Mm-hmm.
What is it called? What is the term?
Hormesis. Yeah, hormesis.
Huh, interesting.
Yeah, that's the physiological term. That's kind of like the stoic mindset. It's
right.
kind of the equivalent. So when you stress your cells or your mitochondria or whatever, they get stronger, they get better.
Yeah. Well, you're referring, for those of you that don't know, The Obstacle is the Way is a book by Ryan Holiday, along with Ego is the Enemy and The Daily Stoic. And he's a rock star who lives in Austin, really cool guy, who's just changing mm-hmm. a lot of the way people think, you know, bringing back the Stoics and the incredible discipline and knowledge that they had to think well and be well, because that's really what it comes down to at the end of the day. And that's what I was talking about when I was talking about spirituality. It's the thoughts that you have. You know, that's a great place to start, is to examine when you're this big experiment with yourself, is look at where your thoughts first. I think that's where you start first. But always great to have you with us, Sean Wells, and everyone out there listening. If you want more of Sean Wells, and I'm sure you do, you can find him at seanwells.com or on Instagram at ingredientologist. Always a pleasure. Sean, we'll talk to you later, okay?
All right. Thanks, Bernadette. Bye.
All right. You're welcome. Love that guy. And I love this guy coming up too. Mobro Set, more coming up, dealing with holiday stress. We'll be right back. You're listening to One Life Radio.
You know the bed feels warmer sleeping. Doesn't kill you, makes you stronger. Stand a little taller. Doesn't mean I'm lonely when I'm alone. What doesn't kill you makes it brighter. Footsteps even lighter. Doesn't mean I'm over, 'cause you're gone. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger, stronger. Just me, myself, and I. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Find us on Facebook, hit like, and follow us at One Life Radio.
You want me to sing, Dr. Junior? Oh my gosh, everyone. Whoa. Welcome
yes.
back to One Life Radio, everyone. This is Bernadette with Junior. We are live from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia as well as KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk. We have Mobro Set with us next. He has been in the health and fitness industry for over 24 years, and he is currently the Director of Mindset and Nutrition at the Adaptive Training Foundation, which is a Dallas-based nonprofit that leads disabled military veterans and civilians through a 9-week mental and physical training program called Redefine. And through his unique program, Mo helps these adaptive athletes overcome physical, emotional, and mental pain, fear, and self-doubt. Mo is a keynote speaker on fear and an expert in human behavior, mindset, and language. He is the founder of Hunt and Prosper, a leadership and self-development company that teaches clients and executive teams to go after what they want. Mo teaches self-awareness, self-confidence, stress management, and problem-solving techniques to overcome personal and professional obstacles and roadblocks. His website is hunt-prosper.com, and on Instagram, that's at hunt underscore for. Prosper, always a pleasure. Mo, bro, how you doing today?
What's up, Byrne? I'm good. How are you?
No, I'm great. I'm great. Full of energy. Got my Christmas tree up, and that's what we're talking about today is holiday stress. You'd be proud of me. I was
yes,
a badass. I went up that ladder and put a 12-foot tree up in three pieces. They were very, very heavy. I even broke a sweat doing it, but I did it on my own, and it empowered me so much, Mo. So
good.
That's a great place to start for today, isn't it?
It is. Yes. Here's a question. You waited till after Halloween to put your Christmas tree up, though, right?
Yeah. I just did it this morning.
Okay, good. Just check it. Oh, perfect. Yeah, that's right. No, I saw a house that was before Halloween, had Christmas lights on, and I just thought, man, that team is dedicated.
Well, that's good. You know, I think a lot of people are doing this this year. They're putting their, I know my neighbor across the street has had his lights up over a week ago. He always does a fabulous job. He's Japanese, incredible home. They just really make it pretty. But he was after it like over a week ago. And I thought, good for him, you know. And I think we're all ready to be in the holiday spirit early because it's been such a tremendously stressful year. So let's talk about that. And now the holidays are here. So the holidays can be stressful. But this holiday season may just be especially difficult. So what do you want people to know going through this particular holiday season 2020?
Yeah, there's so much to unpack with that one.
Right.
You know, honestly, the one thing that I'm going to continue to come back to on every topic around stress, holiday or not, is that no one can make you feel any way. It's up to you. It is a choice. And as my good friend, combat wounded Marine Jacob Schick, co-founder of 22 Kill, says, pain is inevitable, but suffering is optional. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you have to, we get to be mindful of our emotions and our feelings. And that is not to say that you shouldn't feel sad or upset or worried or anything like that. But don't allow yourself to sit in it. Because when you sit in that emotion, the sadness, the anger, the frustration, the quote loss, whatever it is, that just perpetuates the problem. It doesn't solve anything. Because when we're safe, when we're healthy, as most of us are now, or even if you're not, if you're sick, worried about the things that could or might happen, it's almost like thinking blue sky. You're not solving any problems.
Right.
So rather, make a list of gratitude. Gratitude is a huge part of this.
Mm-hmm.
What can you be grateful for today? What do you have today? How are you able to communicate? Can you talk to your family via Skype, via Zoom, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But focus on what you have and not what you don't have or what you can't do. Because wherever your focus goes, wherever your mind goes, your emotions are going to follow.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You say make a list. Should we check it twice?
You should check it twice. You should check that sucker every day. In the list, I mean, like, and it's a gratitude list. This is what I have my clients do: is write down, you know, that the whole thing. Write down one thing you're grateful for, but write it down every day, and then think about it, and close your eyes and visualize that thing that you're grateful for, or a couple things, because when you do that, the brain starts to recognize that pattern as a habit. And as we know, it takes 21 days to form a habit. So think about it right now. If you had 21 days starting right now to wake up every morning, and instead of turning on the news, turning on Facebook, whatever, and getting into the weeds of all the BS that's going on, what if you thought about all the things that you're grateful for your family, for your health, for whatever it is in your life? You could be thankful for the couch that you get to sit on. I don't care. As long as it elicits joy, seriously.
I agree.
And you do that, then you begin to form the habit, and your brain then begins to associate things in a positive way. So then what happens, instead of seeing everything in life as a negative or as a loss or as, oh my gosh, I don't want to do this, or worry, you begin to see things with opportunistic eyes.
Mm-hmm.
You see things as ways to, how can I accomplish this? What can I control in this situation? And it's an amazing place to be. I am an N equals one experiment with this. I went through this through my journey into mindset, and this is what I coach people to do.
Yeah.
And when you begin to do this, your life will forever be changed. But it takes day. You check that list every day. So you make your list and you check it 365 times.
Were you in a very dark place? Like you were just that negative, angry guy walking around? Was that you?
Yeah, I wasn't always negative and angry, but okay. I had a very short fuse, and it was really easy to push my buttons because I allowed that to happen. Mm-hmm. And you know, and it's easy when you get in conversations with other people that are talking negative. That's what we tend to do as well. We begin to not focus on what we have or what we can do. We talk about other people. We talk about situations like, yeah. And it just becomes that herd mentality. So, you know, and that's where it goes. You know, if you're listening to something negative on the radio or news or viewing something negative or commenting on something negative on Facebook, and then you walk into a situation, a store or something like that, you have this negative mindset already in your head. You have this pattern of thinking in a bad way. So the moment someone says something to you that is a little bit off of what you think they should say, your ability to handle them or respond to them in a kind way is less, because I've experienced that myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. It makes me think of the Four Agreements. You know, it's difficult, but you really can't take things. You can't take things personal. You can't. And you do need to be impeccable with your word as well. But more coming up with Mo Brossette. We're going to take a quick break, everyone, and continue talking about the importance of gratitude, especially right now. We'll be right back. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Merry Christmas. Happy holiday.
Merry Christmas.
On social media at One Life Radio.
Mo. I'm so silly today. I got such a good night's sleep, everyone. Welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Junior, and Mo Brossette is with us today. If you're just now joining us, he has been in the health and fitness industry for over 24 years, and he is currently the Director of Mindset and Nutrition at the Adaptive Training Foundation, which is a Dallas-based nonprofit that leads disabled military veterans and civilians through a 9-week mental and physical training program called Redefine. He's also the founder of Hunt and Prosper, a leadership and self-development company. You can find him at his website, hunt-prosper.com, or on Instagram at hunt_prosper. We're talking about dealing with holiday stress. So how do we get through this season without talking about politics, you think? Any advice for us out there, Mo?
Yeah, it's very easy. You don't do it.
There you go.
I mean, I'm serious. It's that simple. Like, I do not talk about politics with people, especially around the holidays. You know, my ex-wife's, her stepfather was a big proponent of talking about politics and starting fires with family members. Ooh. And we're like, no, we're not going to do it.
Yeah.
You know, and if that's the case, if you have a family member that does that and you don't want to do it, here's another simple thing you can do. And I've had to learn this myself. Simply just get up and exit the room. I'm not going to talk about this, guys. When y'all are done, come grab me. I just don't want to talk about this. There's nothing positive that's going to come out of this conversation, especially with the way that everyone has perceived this right now. So I would rather us talk about something good.
Yeah, I agree. And that's great advice.
Yeah, because nothing good is going to come out of talking about politics right now.
Well, what about this? Because I know a lot of families are dealing with this, including my own. I have people in the family that are really nervous about getting together because of COVID. And, you know, how can you prevent that from turning into an argument? Again, just leave the room. Just zip your lips.
No, don't leave the room. But look, everyone is entitled to their opinions. And when you understand that, look, my fears, worries, and concerns are different than your fears, worries, and concerns, that are different from, you know, my mother's and my sister's. And when I can listen to yours objectively and really listen to you without trying to interject my opinion, then you will be heard, and I can at least go, oh, you know what, Bern, I get that. Totally fine. If you're worried about it, you don't want to come, totally cool. We'll Zoom call you in. We'll send you some, you know, turkey through the mail and make it fun. Like, you know, that's the thing. Like, we can, if we think about it, we can create ways to make this fun. We don't have to elicit the suffering that so many people are engulfed with right now.
I agree.
So find ways to, you know, find ways to have fun with this.
Well, that was my next question. You know, what are some fun and productive ways to relieve holiday stress?
Man,
let's talk.
Well, yeah, I mean, anything you can, whatever makes you happy. If you want to, you know, jump in the window and dance around like Matthew McConaughey, preferably club, do it.
I love,
like, whatever makes you happy. Do that thing. If you like to, you know, go outside and ride your bike, if you like to go see movies, if you can go see a movie, really anything that makes you happy, do it. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to your family, when it comes to your friends, if it's something that's different from them that you don't want to do, let them go do it. And you guys reconvene later and talk about the cool things that you did separately and how much fun you had doing it.
I think generosity helps to make the holidays fun by being like a secret Santa, or I've got this new thing that I've been doing with, I call it daily bread. And on Sundays, in lieu of going to church or, you know, something like that, I have been baking and bringing it to homeless people. And it makes me feel like $1 million. And I talk with them. Yeah. Sometimes I'll buy them coffee or just listen to what they have to say and really, you know, make good eye contact with them. Let them know that somebody cares that they're suffering. I think that's the best way to get over your own stress and maybe issues that you're dealing with yourself personally. What do you think?
Yeah, that's a great one too. Yeah, do a selfless act of service. Mm-hmm. Do something for someone else. That's a phenomenal thing to do.
Yeah. What about people that, you know, a lot of unproductive things happen too. We've got about 4 minutes during the holidays. You know, people try to relieve holiday stress, for instance, by drinking too much alcohol or overeating. Then comes January, you know, they're 10, 15 pounds overweight, and then they're more miserable. What do you say to them?
Mm-hmm. So with that, I always encourage people to be realistic with your goals. You know, right now is not the time to go on a weight loss program. Now is the time to strive for being balanced. When you go to, if you go to a party or if you indulge in Thanksgiving, which I hope everyone does, eat as much as you want and enjoy it. Don't become a victim of the food as well. Because what happens is psychologically, you know, we've deemed things as good foods and bad foods. There's no such thing. There are foods that you eat. That's it. So when you eat something, don't allow yourself to feel guilty about it. If you eat a bunch of dressing and pie and cake and drink a bottle of wine, cool. Have a great time with that. The next day, wake up, drink some water, do some movement, maybe some yoga, maybe a little light stretching, walking, exercise, whatever, and then do the next right thing. Hydrate, eat clean, and continue that process. But what happens is we think that, oh, well, you know, I did it once, I fell off the wagon, I'll just wait till January. Mm-hmm. Well, alcohol is a depressant, and we know that. So the more you drink and the poorer you eat, the more that just again perpetuates that, the sadness and the suffering. Mm-hmm. So really focus on good nutrition, on staying hydrated, and not allowing yourself to become a victim of that circumstance of eating poorly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and people do slip into that victim mentality so easily, especially it's easy to do now. So many people are suffering. What do you say to them?
It's okay. The emotion is okay. Because we think that, man, I feel this way, this is bad. Have the emotion. But the brain uses emotion. The reason we have emotion is because the brain thinks there needs to be an action. The brain thinks we need to either fight, flight, or freeze. Well, in reality, none of those are true, usually. So when you have an emotion, identify it, and then create a solution to come out of it using affirming positive language, using your breath. When you do breathing, when you do diaphragmatic box breathing or just diaphragmatic breathing, you stimulate your parasympathetic nervous system. So that'll automatically start to calm you down, get you into what's known as an alpha brainwave state. Mm-hmm. Then you practice gratitude like we talked about earlier.
Yeah.
Focus your mind on what you have and what you can do.
I love it.
And let that be how you operate on a daily basis.
I love it, and I love the message, and you're the best, Mo. Thank you so much for jumping on the air with us today. What do you do? The music is playing real quick. What are you doing for the holidays? Where are you spending Thanksgiving?
I'm going to Louisiana to see my family and frying a bunch of turkeys.
All right. Well, it's good to talk with you today, and happy Thanksgiving early. Everyone out there, thank you so much, Mo. I have gratitude for all the wonderful, excellent guests that we have on the show regularly. I'm thankful for so many things, and I hope you are too. Everyone, have a great day, and remember, you get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life.